When you read the Bible, there are harsh consequences for rejecting God. One of the places we see that is in his dealing with Israel when they rejected him. Paul tackles tough questions about God's plan for Israel. He provides assurance of God's mercy even when it's undeserved. Today, you'll discover reasons to rejoice that salvation is by grace, not works. Stephen called this lesson, Proof That God Is Totally Reliable.
Now, as we sail back into the book of Romans today, I want to begin by asking a question that, well, it might not seem important to you, but it's a question that affects your assurance today. And here's the question. Is God going to keep his promises to the nation Israel? Well, after all, they did and still do to this day reject Jesus as Messiah. So, is God finished with them? Well, the Apostle Paul anticipates this question. And here in chapter 11, he asks and answers that question in verse 1. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. The word Paul uses for rejected means to cast aside or to discard. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, if you're asking this question, well, for one thing, you're not Jewish, because you'd probably want to know this. But the significance to you is this. If God doesn't keep his word to the nation Israel, how do you know he's going to keep his word to you? Is God partially reliable, or is his word totally trustworthy? I used to have a pickup truck that was partially reliable. It was approaching 190,000 miles when something new started acting up. In fact, every time I pulled up to a stoplight, the needle on the temperature gauge would immediately begin to rise. Well, I took my finger and I thumped really hard on that temperature gauge. That's my idea of auto repair. That's about all I can do. And then I waited a couple of weeks to see if it would heal itself. I prayed it would. It didn't. So I eventually had to fork over some money, and I took it to a mechanic. Now, the truth is, few things in our lives are always reliable, from computers to washing machines to dishwashers to jobs to relationships. We live in a world of unreliable things, don't we? But God is completely reliable. Let me tell you, if God is only partially, every once in a while, reliable, we're all in trouble. Listen, if God doesn't keep his promise to bring the nation Israel back into their homeland as he said he would, well, maybe he'll change his mind about getting you and me into heaven. Listen, the very existence of a Jewish person today is incredible proof of God's faithfulness to his promises, not only to Israel, but to you and me as his chosen people through faith in Christ. Well, now, Paul goes on here to give us two evidences that Israel has not been discarded or cast aside by God. The first piece of evidence is found in Paul's personal testimony. Here's verse 1 again. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. See, Paul's saying here, if God decided to get rid of his covenant with the Israelites after they rejected the Messiah, well, why would he choose an Israelite like me to be his apostle, ambassador? It's as if Paul is reminding his readers, listen, there isn't anybody more connected to the covenant of Israel or Abraham than I am. I was born into the covenant family. I'm an Israelite. I'm related to the covenant founder, Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm an heir of the covenant promise. And Jesus Christ saved me. So I am personal evidence. I am exhibit A that God has not forsaken the Jewish people. Well, here's the second piece of evidence, the evidence of a past trial. Paul writes here in verse 2, do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Well, Elijah was effectively saying here, Lord, I'm tired of Israel. I'm sick and tired of their idolatry and their unbelief. I'm the only one left who believes in you. You know, you might as well start over and form a new nation. Well, Paul writes here in verse 4, but what is God's reply to him, that is to Elijah? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. In other words, God informs Elijah here that he has saved a remnant within Israel, thousands of followers. Now, Paul ties all this evidence up here, and he writes this summary statement in verse 5. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. Well, there's that theme of God's grace again, beloved. Israel's future reception of God's covenant promises of a land, a literal land, a literal throne, a literal kingdom as prophesied. It all ties back to the grace of God. Israel was chosen. Israel is being preserved because they deserve it? No, by grace, undeserved favor. Likewise, believers today, Jews and Gentiles, well, we're still saved not by our bloodline or by our works, but by the grace of God. But what's happening to Israel in the meantime? Well, they've focused on their Jewish heritage, but they've overlooked their heart. Paul writes here in verse 7, what then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. The Greek word translated hardened here describes callousing, like calluses on your hand. The divine physician has examined Israel's heart and says they have calluses on their heart. It's a terminal condition, by the way. It's going to require a heart transplant if they are to survive. Now, Paul reveals the symptoms of this condition here in verse 8. He writes, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear down to this very day. You know, when you have a hardened heart, you don't know which way to turn. You're confused in your own spiritual wandering, your own speculations. A hardened heart will make you want to stay in the dark. Well, since your deeds are evil, you don't want anybody to turn the lights on. Paul writes here in verse 9, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. You notice these descriptive words of warning, a snare, a trap, a stumbling block, retribution. They've trusted in their table, he writes. This is perhaps a reference to their rituals, their Passover, their table of showbread in the temple. So again, is Israel going to be discarded by God, even with a calloused heart? Well, down here at verse 25, we'll deal with this verse later on in more detail, but here's Paul's answer. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening, callousing, has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Well, there's hope then for their hardened heart. The hardening is partial. Individual Jews, in other words, can come to faith in Christ today. But whether you're a Jewish person or a Gentile person today, you still can only be saved one way. You got to run to the Savior. He's your only hope of arriving safely in heaven. Some time ago, I read about an event that occurred at the Los Angeles International Airport. A large suitcase, it was unmarked, it was unclaimed, it eventually caught the attention of U.S. Customs agents assigned there that day. When they opened the suitcase, they found the curled up body of a young Iranian woman. She'd been dead for several days. An investigation revealed that she was the wife of a young Iranian man living in the United States, unable to obtain a visa to enter the States. She took matters into her own hands, decided to smuggle herself into America through this airplane's cargo bay. Unfortunately, the suitcase she was in was not put in a pressurized, heated cargo bay, and she quickly died during the flight. Let me tell you, beloved, nobody arrives at the gate of heaven by their own way. Nobody's going to steal their way, sneak their way into the kingdom through some back channel. The only way to gain entrance is through a visa stamped with the red blood of the Redeemer. Jesus said himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So don't bend your back under the weight of the law, as Paul says the Jews were continuing to do here in verse 10. Come through the gospel of Christ. Depend on the promises of God. He is entirely trustworthy. He will keep every promise he made to Israel. He will keep every promise he's made to you and to me. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Stephen is the president of Wisdom International. He's teaching through the Bible on this daily program. Today, you learned that God never abandons those he's chosen. Israel's hardening is temporary, a reminder that salvation is a gift, not something earned. So, instead of despairing over those whose hearts seem closed to God, pray for their redemption, because God's grace is limitless. Please take a few moments and sign up for a free membership in what we call Friends of Wisdom. Once you do, you're going to begin receiving additional resources from Stephen that'll help you walk wisely through life. Friends of Wisdom receive an email from Stephen each Tuesday. He might send an encouraging article to help you better apply God's Word to your everyday life. Sometimes he answers a Bible question he received. It's always interesting to see what people are asking and to read Stephen's answers. At least once a month, our Friends of Wisdom receive a free resource. Joining Friends of Wisdom is both free and easy. All you need to do is visit wisdomonline.org/friends. You'll fill out a brief form, and that's it. You'll be signed up, and you'll begin hearing from Stephen very soon. Once again, visit wisdomonline.org/friends. Thanks so much for listening today. Continue through God's Word next time on The Wisdom Journey.